Paul Allen is a visionary tech entrepreneur. He's an evangelist driven by a desire to help individuals live their best lives. Paul has founded 8 companies. He calls himself a platform entrepreneur. Since his products are usually built on top of the latest tech platform or wave, such as CD-ROM, the World Wide Web, MP3 audio, or Facebook. Now, you've probably heard of Ancestry.com. It's his best-known company. It sought to gather and publish the world's genealogy records, family trees, and memories on the internet, enabling everyone to discover their heritage. Over 100 million people have learned about their family history at Ancestry.com. For the past several years, Paul's focus has been using machine learning and artificial intelligence to help individuals and organizations reach their full potential. Paul's most recent creation is Soar.com, a company whose mission, once again, is to uplift humanity. Paul is a strong advocate for using AI in positive ways, specifically to enable individuals to become the best versions of themselves. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Economic War Room.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm grateful that you would invite me today.
Well, I want to thank you for Ancestry.com. I knew I had Cherokee heritage. I was able to pin it down. My father was, very proud of his heritage. We looked through all of the history books, but the ability to use the internet and find your forebears, your ancestors, that's just amazing. And my dad just passed away, but I can tell you Ancestry.com brought him some joy near the end of his life.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. It really is incredible how closely related the human family is, but more importantly, our own ancestors each sacrificed so much to bring life into the world, to provide for families, to change countries or go through whatever turmoil they went through. And I feel like we're living in the most blessed of all times and eras, and we're really benefiting from the sacrifices that so many people made before us. And sometimes we probably are entitled, but when you look back and study the past, the feeling of gratitude and awe about what people lived through can really change our mindset from one of like, it's all about me or entitlement to like, we're part of this amazing chain of human life. And it also gives us something to treasure and pass on to our own children and descendants. And so I'm glad that you had a wonderful experience. I'm sorry for your father's passing, but life is this cycle and circle. And when we're alive on Earth, we have an opportunity to make the most of our time on Earth and try to bless as many people as we can while we're here.
Yeah, no doubt. And in fact, we learn of the character of our forebears, and it can be an encouragement to improve or to live up to the standards. But it's so helpful to know where we came from and how we got here so that we don't just take everything for granted. There's such a normalcy bias. And we just assume everything's easy and everything's permanent. And that's not the case. And history teaches us so much. So thank you for that. It's a great project, Ancestry.com. It's an incredible, amazing business. You're a great entrepreneur. But what's your favorite entrepreneurship project? Is it Ancestry or is it something else?
Ancestry was a beautiful vision to try to help everyone discover their heritage. But only about 7% of adults will actually spend time and money and make the effort to do the work of family history. 93% of people are busy, they're not interested. And so our market was fairly small. And we knew it was a multi-billion dollar market because those who do genealogy are obsessed by it. But we launched a project in 1998, which was the proudest project I've ever been involved with. It was called MyFamily.com. And it was a website owned by Ancestry, same company, same team. And MyFamily.com had a vision to provide intranet capabilities for every extended family in the world. You could invite your cousins, your brothers and sisters, your children, your parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents into one private social network. And this site, MyFamily.com, was so powerful and so wonderful. Millions and millions of people signed up. It was the fastest growing social site ever up until that time. And it was a wonderful partner to Ancestry.com. The genealogist of the family would discover a photo or a record. They would post it on MyFamily.com so all their living relatives could enjoy that discovery with them. And MyFamily.com and Ancestry combined we're the top 10, we're in the top 10 of all internet properties in 2001 in terms of page views, time spent. Now, later, our investors panicked when the bubble burst, and myfamily.com was a casualty. Instead of keeping it free and viral, growing by tens of thousands of people a day, potentially with hundreds of millions of people someday using it, the investors panicked. They decided to shut it down. We convinced them to turn it into a subscription service, but it absolutely killed the growth of myfamily.com. So the project that I'm most proud of that could have blessed every family in the world was sidelined and then shut down in 2015. So what I'm most excited about right now this year is some of the original people and a bunch of others are resurrecting myfamily.com later this year as familyportal.ai. And it will do exactly what myfamily.com used to do, but it will have video conferencing, transcription, translation, clipping, storage. You'll be able to build an oral history and a family history with video. And then we're planning to do a virtual reality experience as well so that you could potentially take the family discovery of heritage and bring it into a virtual reality world. So I'm so excited to try to bring that project back to life in the next few months.
Wow, that's great. So given that success and failure and all the things entrepreneurs go through, what have you learned and what would you do differently if you were doing it over?
I didn't know anything about venture capital in the late 90s. I was a Russian major in college. I interviewed with the NSA early on in my career. And I was, you know, during the Cold War, it was a big deal to like learn Russian. But I accidentally got into tech. My brother had started a search engine company. And so I started working there. I was a peon. I was the lowest paid person for 2.5 years at their company. But that launched me as an entrepreneur. And in 1990, I started my first company. So I think what I've learned along the way is that if you were omniscient, if you knew everything, you would always be successful as an entrepreneur. If you knew what your customers want, where the market's going, what your competitors are doing, what your employees need. And none of us is omniscient, but the more knowledge that you gain about the world we live in, what people need, what people use, the more you learn, the more quickly you can build solutions that people will care about. But I've learned that I didn't know very much at the beginning, and I'm still trying to learn every day to make better decisions and to be able to scale more companies in the future.
Well, that's great. Well, I know besides the project you mentioned, you've got some other exciting new projects. We're going to need to take a break. When we come back, let's dive into your new projects and see what the American people can learn, what other entrepreneurs can learn, and what we as individuals can learn to make a better future. We're talking with serial entrepreneur Paul Allen. And when I say serial entrepreneur, he's not making Kellogg's breakfast cereals. He has been in a series of entrepreneurships, and they build on one another, and he's learned a lot, as we covered in the last segment. He's got a new project called SOAR, and I don't mean SOAR like my back is sore, S-O-A-R, like SOAR in the skies like an eagle. Hey, Paul, tell us about SOAR.
Well, SOAR has been under development for several years, and if you've been around billions of data records and indexing all the world's best books and some of the things that my earlier companies did, you know that in the world of AI, what AI needs in order to operate on our behalf and help us learn more and do more, it needs data. And so my whole career has been filled with data. And AI can find patterns in data that humans would find challenging and difficult. But AI can also read billions of pages of content or could listen to every audio podcast or every video. So I'm in awe of the capabilities of AI. We started doing machine learning models about 4 years ago, the old-fashioned way, where you had to train a whole bunch of data, tell it what the patterns were, and then hope that it could detect those patterns in the future. But when ChatGPT came out, and when GPT-4 came out in March of last year, what used to take us months and cost tens of thousands of dollars was now taking minutes and costing a few dollars. I'm serious. It was a 1,000-time increase in the speed with which you could deploy AI solutions. So at that point, my company decided to launch 15 new corporations over the next 2 or 3 years. One aimed at each area of life. Our life as humans is very rich. We have our families. They matter most. We have our faith. We have our citizenship. We have education, career, financial, health, all hobbies. We have all these things. And the vision of SOAR AI Studio is to launch products and companies that will help you thrive in every area of life that you care about. Faith is often neglected by the trillion-dollar tech companies. And family ties are often folded into all of your social connections. I think Facebook ruined the word friend because you just don't have 1,000 friends or 5,000 friends. Mm. You're very blessed and very lucky if you have 3 or 4 very close friends. And Gallup's book, Vital Friends, indicates that if you don't have a few close friends, it's more dangerous to your longevity than smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day. We are social creatures. We need strong families. We need close friendships. And then we need to learn and apply what we learn in our careers and in other areas of life. So our vision is to build 15 companies, partner with great content providers, and help humans prosper and flourish by utilizing AI to help them in the ways that they choose in the areas of life that matter most.
Well, let's just be clear. There's not one of those 15 companies that creates killer Terminator robots or anything like that. Is that the case?
We are definitely not in favor of governments using AI in exploitive or coercive ways or for surveilling. We're definitely not in favor of militarizing automated warfare and drones and AI. It's very scary because those things are happening in our country and in other countries. But yes, our vision is what we call pure AI, that all the AI systems and products that are built by our team are personalized to you and you're in control of them. They're uplifting, meaning that you find joy and fulfillment in using them. They're also responsible and ethical. So pure AI is what we're all about and trying to apply it in as many areas of life so that humans can thrive and prosper in the areas that they choose.
Well, I'm looking at your website and I see multiple companies that you've launched, Founder Portal, Faith Portal, High Focus. But the one that stands out is the one that Glenn Beck introduced me to, which is Citizen Portal. Can you tell us what is Citizen Portal?
Citizen Portal took a play out of the playbook that Ancestry ran 25 years earlier, which is public domain content, birth, marriage, death records. Nobody needed to give us permission. There was no copyright on all the world's genealogy records. And so my team jumped in, we put billions of records on the internet, and we provided a great experience so people could use that. With Citizen Portal, what's happening is that every government meeting that is being recorded at the city, county, state, or federal level, all across the United States, we're busy as citizens. We don't have time to go to every meeting. That's why we elect representatives to go to those meetings for us. But if we have no idea what's going on in those meetings, what our representatives are doing and saying, then we have abdicated our responsibility. We've given up our opportunity to be participants in self-government. And of course, if you look at where the federal government and many state governments are going, we're kind of going off the rails. I think most people would agree that we don't like a $34 trillion debt. We don't like some of the rules and laws and regulations, and yet we're not doing anything about it. So Citizen Portal AI is an AI platform that will transcribe every public meeting in the United States. Soon it will have donor data and voting records for all of your elected officials, and you'll be able to create a scorecard to keep track of your elected officials at every level of government, see how they're doing, and are they representing your values. When you go into a voting booth in November, we hope that you'll take your Citizen Portal AI scorecard that you generated that will tell you, this person represents me 88% of the way, this one's 50%. I'm going to vote for the person that represents my values and beliefs, and that will be very possible with the incredible help of AI and all the data that comes out of government and campaigns and elections.
Oh, that's great. Well, I've got from your website, 49% of U.S. voters think we will likely lose our democracy and that the confidence in government is at all-time lows. This is one way with information that you can help increase individuals' confidence in government, help them to make wise decisions when they're choosing their elected representatives. So I think it's a fabulous project. But it was crowdfunded. Tell us how that worked.
You know, in 2012, the American Jobs Act was passed, and it was a bipartisan piece of legislation. And by 2016, the Securities and Exchange Commission started the rules by which non-accredited investors, average Americans anywhere in the country, could invest in startup companies. And so in 2020, we ran a couple of crowdfunding campaigns. And then with Citizen Portal, there's been a ton of people showing up at startengine.com, learning about the Citizen Portal project and funding it. So we're very pleased that the United States now allows startups to be funded by family, friends, neighbors, anyone across the country. And we're so overjoyed by the enthusiastic support for Citizen Portal. We think that Citizen Portal could be like Ancestry.com in 5 or 10 years. It could be the definitive platform where all American citizens go to find out what's going on in government and to hold our elected officials accountable for what they do. And we'll stop abdicating our responsibility. We'll shift the power, as Glenn Beck said, back to the citizens, back to the people. I'm actually very optimistic about the role that it can play.
Well, we're going to need to take another break, but it's exciting. Even on the website, it says buy stock. And, you know, that's something we do here in the Economic War Room, is talk to people about investing. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into Citizen Portal. We're speaking with Paul Allen about Citizen Portal. I mean, this guy's founded Ancestry.com, and he's helped people learn their heritage and understand their heritage. Now he's using the power of artificial intelligence and public records and public information to help people learn about their elected representatives. Do they really stand for what they say? And he looks at what they've said, you know, in public speeches, what their votes have been, what their comments, who's funding them, and all of these things. That is Citizen Portal. And you can buy stock in it, or you could when they first came out on the crowdfunding. But my question, Paul, how do you make money when you invest in something like Citizen Portal?
It has the same business model as Ancestry.com did, which was, let's give away a lot of valuable information and content for free outside of what you call the paywall. And then behind the paywall, so for $100 a year, a citizen can get access to so much more. So the way we've drawn the line for the paywall right now is that we want every citizen in the United States to have free access to their school board meetings, their local city and county meetings, and all their state legislature meetings. Because as a citizen, you have much more impact locally than you can at the federal level. Until hopefully you work your way up and become influential and powerful, and maybe you can influence federal politics someday. But the average citizen has no idea what's going on at the school board or the city council and your local education system and all these things that you can affect. And if you don't affect them, it could harm your family or your livelihood. And so if we abdicate our responsibility, if we don't show up, if we don't participate in self-government, then somebody else is making the rules. So the paywall is if you want access to all 50 states, if you want to find out what's going on in Oklahoma and in Maine and what other legislatures are doing, if you want to become a very informed citizen and find the policies and programs that do work and the regulations or lack of regulations that lead to economic prosperity, you can become a super informed citizen, find out what's going on in all of the laboratories of democracy across the United States. And one of our fondest hopes for this platform is not just to fight corruption and to restore transparency to government. We do want to do that. But imagine how many wonderful people there are serving in local positions or in state legislatures who have wonderful ideas. They are supporting freedom and liberty. They're supporting life. They're doing the things that you care about. And if we can find instances where the rules they've made or the policies or the budget they've spent is impacting society for good and in the ways that we value, then you could then advocate to take what Oklahoma City is doing and bring it to your city. Like, I just think the laboratories of democracy, we are not shining a light on the things that are working to improve mental health or reduce homelessness or boost economic growth through pro-entrepreneur and pro-investor policies. We're not shining a light on what's working, and we're not spreading what's working to all of our other jurisdictions. We hope that there could be thousands or millions of citizens who study government and study laws and study spending and programs, find the things that work. I met a city manager in Texas who saved his city millions of dollars by eliminating the public transportation system. Okay, well, that wouldn't be very popular. You need busing systems, right? Well, he replaced it with an Uber partnership and a subsidy from the city that allowed you to go point to point instead of bus route to bus route. He had a better delivery system, hyper local pickup and drop off. He saved the city millions of dollars.
I love that.
There's so many examples like that, but we don't know about them, so we can't advocate for them in our own backyard.
Yep, no, I love that. And I think of Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson in North Carolina, who started as a speech at a school board, and now he's Lieutenant Governor running for governor. I think of Senator Bullard. You mentioned Oklahoma City. I was just there at the Capitol in Oklahoma with Senator Bullard and Treasurer Todd Rust and Senator Shane David Jett, and they're advocating transactional gold and silver. Pirate money is what we call it, and I've written books and I've done a lot of shows on that, but it's a way to change people's lives for the better, to solve inflation problems and so forth. And we've got to get the word out. So I love that about what you're doing with Citizen Portal. So I've got two questions left. Our time's about to wrap up. Paul, you're an eternal optimist. I can tell that. But what scares you? What are the things that you see on the horizon that we need to address from a negative standpoint? And then second, what gives you hope?
You know, it's crazy that in the 1990s, under President Clinton and Newt Gingrich as the Speaker of the House, that we balanced our budget three times in 4 years, the federal budget. And now we're spending so many trillions of dollars. And of course, that's going to cause inflation, and endless wars are financed by the American people. And I'm actually extremely concerned about the Federal Reserve and its policies, and also the fiscal spending spree that this country's been on for decades. It's not sustainable. I don't want to see hyperinflation. I don't want to see a crash. I certainly don't want to see central bank digital currencies and the ability to surveil every dollar spent by everyone wherever they go. So I do know that governments and corporations are extractive, exploitive, and surveillance-based. And I'm actually very, very optimistic about something. You may or may not have heard of this, but there's a billionaire from California, Frank McCourt. He used to own the Dodgers, and he's putting, I believe, $500 million into something he calls Project Liberty. And Project Liberty says that the trillion-dollar tech companies have a business model that requires them to get our data, to sell ads to us, to auction off our attention and our time to the highest bidder. And that is harming all of us at scale, especially the young people. Their Project Liberty introduces a new protocol for inventing the internet over again, decades after it was started. It's called the Decentralized Social Media Protocol, DSMP. I'm hoping that all of the SOAR companies, Family Portal, Faith Portal, Citizen Portal, Sales Portal, Workplace, Health Portal, all of them will be built on top of the decentralized social media protocol. You'll be in charge of your data, your persona, all your content, and you'll give permission to sites that you trust. But instead of the sites owning and controlling the data for billions of people and then monetizing you, you're the product, there's going to be potentially a reinvention of the internet. And I am so optimistic. I think pendulums swing historically back and forth. And we've noticed that the last 10 or 20 years, the pendulum has gotten really dark. And I feel like we're on the cusp of some new innovations that will allow liberty and freedom and economic growth to flourish once again.
I love that. We'll feature that on a future show. Please get us the contact for the gentleman you mentioned. That's fabulous. And the answer to the overspending, the debt, the inflation risk, the central bank digital currencies, I hope you have read Pirate Money, because I truly believe that's the answer to those problems. Now, we're going to take everything we've talked about and summarize it in our free economic battle plan. You can get a copy of this at economicwarroom.com. You sign up and you get one every week, an email where you can meet great people like Paul. Remember, what we see as a marketplace, our enemies view as a battle space. This is Kevin Freeman from the Economic War Room.